You are not to discuss this matter amongst yourselves.
We don't submit reports or ask approval for specific operations, if that's what you mean. We are an autonomous department.
Any questions?
Broadcasting from an abandoned subspace relay orbiting Risa, this is Section 31, gathering intelligence for you on Star Trek CCG. Now reporting in, operatives Dan and Rogue.
Welcome to Section 31, episode number 41. I'm Dan Hamm.
And I'm Rogue Schindler.
This week we're going to talk about Tui again. We've got a big three-event tournament coming up. There's another card to spoil from our source, and I've infiltrated the continuing committee. Well, to start things out, I have accepted a volunteer position on the continuing committee to serve as a shipping manager. I'm sure a lot of you have seen the article about it. And for the most part, you know, I took the position because I wanted to get my cards on time, and I want everyone else to get their cards on time. So once everything's transferred over to me, I'm still waiting for Charlie to clear out the back orders and get everything in my warehouse. Hopefully, there will not be any more issues with back orders. All orders will be going out twice a week, and definitely everyone will get their regional prizes in advance.
Fantastic. Well, thank you very much for that.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. And if you have any questions about the store, I've already gotten a few PMs from people asking for trouble with their orders. I've been forwarding along to the folks who can make changes and get things done. So keep at it. I live to serve.
So this offers up a unique opportunity to all of you tournament directors out there and other affiliated players. If you want your orders faster, feed us intelligence that we can use on the show, and maybe we can slip you something.
One other thing, I've noticed in the past, and it's come up before. I'm a printed card, virtual card snob. The quality has not been quite up to what I'm used to, and now, if anyone else is as much of a snob as I am, rest assured that the quality of the prints in the tournament kits, the random virtual foils that get thrown in as a bonus, they will be top notch from now on.
Virtual foils?
Did I say virtual foils?
Yeah, you mean virtual AIs?
That must be what I meant. I wouldn't know anything about virtual foils.
We have some startling news. Section 31 agents have reported that the bizarre email happenstance that we mentioned last week is in fact true. That card that was emailed to us from Mr. Mudd is in fact the close to final edition of a card that will appear in the next set, which up until now is known only as Valkyrie. As offensive as his grammatical disposition is, we have had another email.
So once again, this is kind of take it for what it's worth. But according to who we talked to before, that his last report was fine, or her last report was fine. So this card is called Holiday. It's a dilemma. The text says, your opponent chooses two personnel to be stopped. Choose a personnel from hand with a cost less than the total cost of the two stopped personnel. You may place that personnel on this planet mission and have him or her join this mission attempt.
It's Planet Dilemma Cost 2, so no space shenanigans. But this is clearly, it would thematically and from the title, I would assume this is something to do with Captain's Holiday. Picard and Vosh run off together, but
so I'm gonna play this on you, and I get to choose two people to be stopped,
which is pretty huge. Choosing people to be stopped at all, but much less two of them.
The downside is if you have someone in your hand. And if you don't already command that person, you get a free personnel play.
man, I don't know. And they have to be costly. I suppose if your choices are pretty good, and you know, you pick low cost people, or they're playing a lot of duplicate personnel and they don't have them out yet. Or I suppose if you catch somebody with no personnel in their hand, Starfleet, Mayor Starfleet, or somebody just happens to you, like you could pair this up with Dreamer in the Dream. I don't know. Seems kind of a crapshoot.
Yeah, this would not go well. Well, I don't know.
It seems like this could end up with as much of a benefit for the opponent as it could to hurt them, kind of like the old secret ID trick where I know we've all been thrown out a secret ID at least once, and the person, you know, turns out the person didn't have the mission requirements, and then after the swap, they get them.
Yeah, it will be interesting to see if this is kind of like the other dilemmas that we had back in, Dangerous Missions, where if you have to show... No, I'm thinking of something else. Back, what's that with that? Where you have to show a personnel from hand who has certain skills, or you stop somebody else?
Oh, yeah. Those were... yeah, I know what you're talking about. So I suppose if you put this together in a combo, if you're already playing a discard deck or something else that makes your opponent have to... reveal cards or discard cards from their hand, this could end up being a win for you.
Right, so either Romulan, you know, hand discard, or memory invasion before this, so you could make them dump one of their expensive people, and then, you know whether or not who to stop. Yeah.
Well, you know, you could, or, you know, Maquis Defiant, making their, you know, they've had to put most of their hand back on top of their deck or discard it for whatever reason. Well, I suppose if in conjunction with some decks, it could end up being useful. Of course, this could all be completely false.
Well, if we get another angry email from Brad, we'll know what's going on.
That is true. I benefit from not being the agent who gathers intelligence from the message board, so I have not had to deal with some of what... assuming it's the same person spamming the boards who is sending us these emails, having to deal with their grammatical color.
I haven't seen anything recently, so we welcome any further emails by this fellow. He's been posting on the board a few times.
One of the things that I noted that players enjoy doing that can kind of throw off your opponent every now and then is playing a particular affiliation but playing it counter to its usual flavor. For example, I know Thomas Weinberg here in San Diego has played a rather successful Bajoran combat deck. Certainly not something that you would see coming.
Yeah, the Federation battle deck that drops a Prometheus and three damage markers in one turn, that's kind of along the similar vein. Just not what you're expecting.
Yeah, that's a lot of fun. Man, I'm going to have to throw that back together. I had an old Earth DS9 deck that I tried with that, with the Valiant and the Defiant, two Defiant class ships running around beating you up. I bet that would be a lot more fun now with the Prometheus.
That's a lot of staffing. All right.
Yeah. Lots of one-cost command stars.
The last time I played against, I think it was Matt Kirk, he had thrown a Cardassian deck at me. And, you know, as you could probably tell from my player rating, I'm not that great at tracking what my opponent's doing. I try to play what I'm doing. And I was throwing dilemmas at him that were having no effect because he was playing a Cardassian, like, honor deck. It had a lot of dissidence, and it just not what I was expecting.
I really do like that Cardassian Dissident. Actually, even Cardassian Dissident or Romulan Dissident or a combination thereof, because you get just a hint of their standard flavor. You can play things like the Protectorate and Guys and PNP, but you can and get the benefits of those and have the intelligence and the treachery, but you still get you can get past things that are usual auto stops against them, like honor or integrity related dilemmas.
Yeah, and the attributes, when you go off color, I guess, the attributes kind of even out, and you end up being pretty strong in all of them.
Exactly. Another thing that's been popular for a while since the Commandeered Warship came out is the Dominion Solver, rather than combat or engagement. You get that ship out there and solve your one mission and then move the dilemmas around. Not a huge fan of that. But Dominion...
A lot of a couple of decks came through with Bajoran Treachery. I mean, they've got a kind of a theme there, but for the most part, you know, as the game came out, I saw a lot of Bajoran Integrity decks with the, you know, Aborum Shuffle and Opaka and Brile, and all of a sudden, out of nowhere, seemed to come these high cunning, lots of kind of shenanigans, and just very quick.
Yes, those are really fun with the, you get the circle going and start offing some of your opponents so you can get extra counters. The Covenant is a fantastic addition to that deck as well. Coming up in the next few weeks, we have our big 2E season finale event. Here locally called the Phoenix Tournament, which I'm sure you've heard us talk about before in the past. Dan, what is on the menu this year or this season?
We're starting out with a Transwarp draft, which you bring a Transwarp deck from the list, and you get to add any of the draft cards. We'll be drafting another box of what you leave behind. So, and actually, I think last time we did this, you can bring any number of Transwarp decks, and after the draft, you just choose one of them and you play with it. And when the tournament's over, you can keep your drafted cards if you really want them. Everything else is donated to the tournament director's cash for redistribution to new players. We've given out about 5 or 6 decks to 2 new players over the last month or two, so it's really worked out great for us.
Yeah, the surprising part, of course, is actually having new players to give them to.
Yeah,
which is always fun and exciting. Yeah, that what you leave behind, always an interesting set to draft because there's so many different things in there that you could throw in with. I know a couple of players just brought a couple, you know, 2 or 3 pre-built Transwarp decks and chose one based on what they drafted. I don't know. It's kind of hard to plan ahead for that with such a diverse set like that. So,
well, I was kind of backed in a corner last time because as in our league format, you get a bonus for playing a new headquarters, and I was down to Taric Nor as pretty much my only choice. So, it didn't go well for me. But
I was going to say, you got nothing out of that, did you?
I got an awful lot of that DK event. Yeah. Anyway, this time will be a lot more open, so I'm going to just bring all my cards and put a Transwarp deck together after I've done drafting.
Sounds good.
Yeah, I've got all the deck lists ready to go.
Yeah. And then I believe the second round is our usual standard 2E constructed tournament. Double points for...
Double points for our league. We'll be doing 5 rounds.
Yeah. And then last but not least, our local sort of homebrew. We always end up with a couple hours at the end. Not enough to play a whole tournament of constructed, but enough time to want to do something. And this will be the third time that we've played our very own Slipstream tournament, which is essentially half a tournament. You bring half a deck, and you have to complete half a mission. No, that's not right. But a lot of people bring really slim decks. You need 50 points to win. It's half-hour rounds. And you need one mission to win. Space War Planet, and, you know, I believe that first year we played, every single person had a different way of turning the 50-point corner. And it's always interesting to see what people bring to that. I'm very much looking forward to see if the virtual cards have added to that at all.
Yeah, there was a lot of combat and engagements in the first round. I think I played just a really fast next-gen deck with just easy missions. That worked out pretty well. I don't know what I'm going to do this time.
Yeah, I had a lot of success the first year with I only lost one game with my surprise Starfleet deck. It was Mirror Starfleet, and it was just really fast. 135-point mission in space with Archer and the homeworld, and I think it was mostly a surprise. It worked because people were like, well, okay, you still have to get some bonus points somewhere, so I'll let you have it. Or they didn't try as hard, and they either didn't remember the headquarters or didn't remember Archer. And when I solved and I had 50 points, everybody was like, what? But unfortunately, I think that only works once. I'm going to have to come up with something new this year. The Klingons did not. The new Gowron was not kind to me. I could not get enough honor out quickly enough to stop everybody score 5 points.
And of course, after everything's over, time permitting, there will be tribbles.
Love the tribbles. And time permitting, I think between rounds, I'm sure you'll have some bookkeeping to do. Just because it's fun, and we used to do it a little bit here and there, I have prepared some special 2E trivia.
Really?
Nothing, no special riff points on the line or anything, but just some fun, kind of kickback, random stuff that I thought would be fun to play around with. So we have some Kira trivia, since she seems to be the popular card. And then we've got some attribute trivia, and I think we're going to have some skill trivia.
Oh, all right.
Time permitting.
Yeah. Let's get all the points you can before Thomas shows up.
All right. Well, that's all the intelligence we have gathered for you to share this week. On behalf of our producer, Matt, we will give our customary shout out to Warp 11. I am Sir Rogue.
And I'm Sir Dan.
I will remind you all to expand your power in the universe.
I've got Talactalon. He's going to use his transporter skill to invasively beam in through your shields. And Etana Rax, Umat Adan, and Akatika are going to beam over with their two hand weapons. So that's strength of 12 and 10 and 9. And those guys are +2 and those guys are +2. And +6 more is 41 to 10.